So good morning, and as a way of offering something around the practice of mindfulness, I would like to include this morning a common exercise that I do now these days, and mindfulness of your hand exercise. For those of you who've done it before, I will do it for a little different purpose today. And you know, maybe you think of this mindfulness of the hand exercise that I teach not any different than mindfulness of the breathing. You don't say after one or two breaths, "Well, I've done that. I know what that's about." So it's always something, you know, valuable about coming back to the breath. It's maybe no different with a hand. So to begin, and we start from the outside in, we start first with an awareness of the room that you're sitting in. Maybe even with your eyes closed, there's a sense of the room. The walls, the windows, the place, the location. There's a long tradition that the location in which you meditate is special, maybe sacred. And then coming closer, there's whatever surface is holding the weight of your body, your cushion, your chair, the floor, maybe a bed, and to feel the support, that provides your weight. And then also coming in closer, there's your posture. And to take a few moments caring for your posture. Maybe there are large or very small adjustments you can make, so your posture is a little bit more enlivened with attention, with awareness. Maybe sitting a little bit more upright, or being in a way that allows the chest to be a little bit more open. And then coming in closer, there's your breathing. And perhaps taking a few long, slow, deep breaths as an acknowledgement, recognition that you're a breathing organism. The regular rhythm of breathing is one of the fundamental rhythms of your life, breathing in and breathing out. And then letting your breathing return to normal. Maybe with an ordinary breathing, no special effort to breathe deeply, it is coming even closer in, more intimate. And as you exhale, to spend some time relaxing the body. A gentle relaxation without much ambition, softening, softening the muscles of your face, relaxing the shoulders. Softening the belly. Perhaps you can also relax the whole body if you're bracing yourself against life to soften and release. Realizing that when you relax the body, you make more space in the body to feel and sense, more room for awareness. Perhaps as you exhale, relaxing the thinking muscle. Quieting your thinking. So there also, there becomes more room to be aware, a kind of silent awareness that doesn't require much thought, just aware. And then calmly bringing your attention to one of your hands. And feel, maybe even intimately, the sensations of the hand. Not so much that you're in the control tower thinking about the hand or looking down at the hand, but being aware of how the hand experiences itself. The tingling of the hand. Pulsing, the temperature, warm or cool, sensations of contact where the hand might be touching something else. The weight or the lightness of the hand. Sensations of the back of the hand. The palm of the hand. The fingers. And perhaps becoming aware of how the sensations in the hand can be there, can come and they can go, and appear and disappear, without any reference to me, myself, and mine. We don't make a self out of it. The temperature against your skin. That itself is not the self. It's just the temperature. And how in and of itself, the sensations of the hand are simple from the point of view of the hand. It doesn't need a self to explain it or to be it, or just there, simple sensations. And then mindfulness of the hand also includes being aware of how you're mindful. In the awareness of the hand, are you straining to know or resisting the awareness? Are you wholehearted about feeling the hand, or half-hearted, or no-hearted? In mindfulness of the hand, are you more in the control tower, thinking about it all? Or are you more resting in the hand itself? In sensing and feeling, knowing the hand, does any of that knowing seem to occur without reference to a self? Or can you feel how parts of the knowing, the sensing, just is, independent of your identity, self-referencing? That awareness of hand maybe doesn't need to be self-referenced. A freedom from self and the simplicity of awareness. And then calmly begin your move your awareness to the experience of the body moving, the body breathing. Wherever it's easiest for you to experience breathing, the movements of the body. And feeling the area of the body where you experience breathing. Feeling it in the way you felt the hand. Maybe receptive. Maybe sensing, being in the sensations with awareness. And in what way do you experience the breathing without self-referencing? And can you put aside self-referencing? You can be aware of breathing within breathing, aware of the body within the body. Allowing yourself to feel the simplicity of the moment, simplicity of the experience, without any need to entangle it with ideas of me and myself and mine. Without needing to refer it back to me. Allowing each thing, each sensation to exist in its utter simplicity. And then as you hear the bell ending this sitting, what part of what happens next seems to occur without any reference to self? And what occurs that's self-referential in nature? And whatever it is, it's okay. It's possible to simply be aware of it. So I mentioned yesterday that these factors in liberative dependent arising are presented without any reference to self. And then suggested this morning that it's possible to recognize how some of the experiences we have occur in and of themselves without any reference to self. And it's also possible to be aware of self-referencing. We consciously or kind of unconsciously relate to experiences, my experience, my practice, my effort. It's happening to me. I'm the one who lives under the burden of the challenges of life, or I'm the one who experiences the joys. And it's possible to discover ways in which awareness is self-referencing and ways in which awareness is not self-referencing. I kind of take a certain delight when this new sensation occurs, a new sound, especially sounds that was unplanned, unexpected. The first instant in which it appears in consciousness, it does so without any self-referencing, just there. And then afterwards, and sometimes very quickly, there's the self-referencing. That sound is disturbing my meditation. I was on the brink of enlightenment until the neighbor's dog barked. My enlightenment was ruined. So all kinds of ways in which we, the thoughts, the activities of the mind are organized around me, myself, and mine. And it's possible, but it's also possible to be aware of how the awareness has a quality of freedom from self. There's awareness and what it knows. The sensations of the hand are sensed, are known in and of themselves without any even reference to the body or to me. It's just sensation. A sound is just a sound, independent of me, myself, and mine. So as you do your practice, settling into breathing, into walking, mindful of body, of emotions, of thinking, you might from time to time becoming aware of how some things seem to happen and be experienced unselfconsciously. They're known without self-referencing, or in Buddhist language, are known without there being a self in relationship to it. And that sometimes that awareness itself seems to have qualities of no self there, no self-referencing, no self-consciousness. That when the hindrances arise, they might arise with a lot of self-referencing. But when calm occurs, or joy, or well-being, or settledness in practice, maybe you can recognize that it can be there without self-referencing. It doesn't need self-referencing. Whereas the hindrances might need it. Sometimes self-referencing is the source of agitation. The absence of self-referencing is sometimes the source of peace. And then a couple of announcements for today. One is that because of the different time zones in which people are participating in the retreat, the evening drop-in practice discussion groups don't work so well for some people. So for those people who the evening doesn't work so well, Inez is offering practice discussion in about 5 minutes at 9:15 California time. So if you haven't been able to come to some of the evenings and would like to have a drop-in group practice discussion, you know, in the morning instead. It's available in a few minutes. And then today is the halfway mark of the retreat. And one of the changes is we change retreat managers. I want to thank very much Megan and Leo for managing this first half. It's wonderful work that they did for all of us. And welcome Stan and Sada to become the managers of the second half of the retreat. And so if you have some exchange with the managers, you'll get a reply from Stan or Sada. And I'd also like to add that you are most likely more settled now a week into the retreat than you realize. And that you actually are in a wonderful place to continue with the practice. And you might want to consider this day as a day to, if it's possible with your circumstance and where you're living and what's happening around you, to lovingly give yourself over to the practice more fully. Maybe there's a way of having more continuity through the day. Maybe it's a way of doing a little bit more practice throughout the day. Maybe there's a way of being calmly, peacefully, more fully engaged in the practice, as if it's the most important thing you could do, which I certainly think it is for today. May you enjoy your day of practice. Thank you. And for the practice discussion with Inez in a couple of minutes, it's for both the full participants and the auditors. So anybody can go to those, to it.